Hey, everybody, what's going on? We're back again today. Happy Thursday to everybody. Hope everybody's doing good for another interview. And we have a lot to talk about because my guest today is busy, busy, busy. But before we talk to her and I introduce you to her, I just got to tell everybody, today's show and every show is brought to you by Next Home Brandywine in Downingtown, Pennsylvania. Dan Pizzi and his team of professional realtors, they're going to provide you guidance, knowledge, and information for all buyers and sellers. Go to nexthomebrandywine.com for details or to contact an agent. They service Philadelphia and the surrounding counties, but also nationwide referrals are available because there is offices in 48 of the 50 states. So be sure to ask for the NH5 listing special, or like I said, go to nexthomebrandywine.com or call them directly at 484-364-4862. That's 484-364-4862. Don't forget to tell them Totally Driven Radio sent you. And speaking of being totally driven, my guest today is all that and more because, like I said, she is involved in so much. She's super busy, and she is truly an inspiration to all. Her name is Dawn Earhart Witte. Dawn, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for doing this. A person like you who's super busy, you got to squeeze time in to do these little things, right?
They're all big things. I don't think there are little things.
Well, let's just give a little taste, everybody. You're an author, entrepreneur, philanthropist, international speaker, life coach. You're the founder of the Desire to Inspire Foundation, all that, and a mom to boot.
Well, thank that. Today's my youngest daughter's birthday. So, but they're both adults. Birthday. So I'm not actively mothering them any longer. But I will let her know you said that.
So doing all this, you're involved in so much, like I said. Like, do you have a team behind you? Are you just a one-person wrecking crew that's able to tackle all this? How do you do it?
No, it's definitely through help. You know, I've got people on the ground in Africa that are doing so much work, putting together posts, visiting people on the ground. I mean, because COVID has happened and travel stopped all over the world, I've got literally angels on the ground that are checking in on Mama Josephine in Uganda and, you know, my kids in other countries. So it's definitely a team effort for sure.
That's amazing. Now, how did you get started with the foundation Desire to Inspire? How did you, like, what inspired you to truly start this?
I think when I first started, it was because I would turn on the news and I would just see so much devastation and, you know, fighting and crime. And I just thought, you know, I know so many people doing so many good things. My friend Carol, she rescues dogs. She spends her life rescuing dogs and placing them in homes. My friend Wendy started the Beauty Bus, and they go out and they give cancer treatments and terminally ill homebound patients, you know, beauty treatments to make them feel better. My friend Debbie, you know, I could go on and on with all the people I know that do these amazing things, selfless, amazing things. And I just thought, I really want to share those people with the world, because we hear the names of, you know, serial killers and mass murderers and things like that. Right. I want people to know the names of, like, true heroes that are actually making a difference in the world. So I started it from that premise. And then I went to Africa. And once I went to Africa, I fell in love with these people, the children especially, but the people, like all of the people. And I just thought, these people also inspire me. They struggle with basic needs, water, food, you know, basic medical attention, yet they are so giving and welcoming and full of joy. I just thought, that is inspiration. That is a message that I want to bring to everybody. And I want to lift them up too, because they've lifted me.
When you decide to do something like this, like, this is not a small job. This is a big job and something big to tackle. Did you ever question yourself or ask yourself, like, how can I, just one person, make an impact, really make a change in the lives that I want to change?
Every day I ask myself that. I do. You know, it's daunting when you see the amount of needs that exist. And, you know I can't do all of it. I talked to my friend Reggie Lewis a couple years ago, right before one of my trips. And I just said, Reggie, you know, there are so many needs. I don't know how I can do what I want to do. And he said, help who you can, you know, and that's all you can do. And I just always keep that in my head, because as much as I want to help everybody, you know, I can only do what I can, take baby steps, you know, little by little, and it builds and it grows. And although I'm not where I want to be, you know, I just know that every step I take is in that direction.
You know, that word, baby steps, that was said to me a few years ago by somebody who became an inspiration for me. And it really helped me, because I like you're saying, like, you want to help everybody and tackle so much and do everything, and you just can't. You have to do those baby steps.
It's a process. I mean, it's life. You know, life is a process. Every day we're learning, we're growing, and, you know, we have to keep moving forward. And not get stuck in some of the things that we worry about or the things that we can't do at the moment. You know, I think I am not a life coach. I did study life coaching because what I wanted to do with that was to teach these life coaching principles to people in Africa. And so, you know, we believe that when you set your vision and you start making steps towards that vision, it's a process to get from here to there. But every day, as long as you're moving towards that, then you're making progress.
Right. Now, how about, you mentioned already, you know, everybody's not here, only here, but around the world with the pandemic that's been going on the last few months. Has that slowed the process down in the work, the foundation work?
Oh, yeah. We were planning this Day of Purpose in Sierra Leone in March, on March 18th, you know, right when everything started closing down. Okay. So that kind of, you know, made us kind of stop in our tracks and say, okay, you know, because we were going to get people together, you know, we were going to have a big gathering and, you know, lift the kids and do, you know, celebrate with them. But so we've been kind of reconfiguring, trying to figure out, you know, what our next steps are to move forward. And, you know, even now, I don't know what the world's going to look like, you know, this month, next month, you know, so I'm just doing what I can. I'm you know, trying to remain positive, because I feel like, you know, God doesn't give us what we can't handle, but, you know, he's really trying it right now.
I think he's truly testing everybody.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So when, you know, when this situation happens like this now and it slows down that process, has it amped up the other processes, because now you have a new book out?
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, do what you can from where you have with what, with what you have from where you are. So I can't be planning my trip to Africa right now. So I've been writing, we're working on a book series. We put out the Recipes for Being the Power of Seven last November. It is now being printed in Africa, which is my hope and dream for everything I do. I want to provide the business on the ground in Africa, you know, from the printer to, you know, the branding person, the marketing person, create as many jobs as in Africa as I possibly can, because this is about more than just giving a donation or addressing basic needs. This is lifting people so that they can put their own gifts and talents into the world, you know, doing their thing that they were put here to do. So we're working on a series so that other aspiring art, authors can be part of this B series that we're creating. And each book is going to be one of my seven words. And so we're almost there, putting final touches on, you know, sending that out and starting that promotion. But I'm really excited because I want to share these words with people. I want to share the notion of living an inspired life, you know, that love is our highest calling, you know, those kind of ideas, you know, just if one person says, ah, oh, you know, I never thought of it like this, to make a change in someone's life, that's, you know, that's to have succeeded.
You know, with a book like this and, you know, these seven words, the book came out in November, you said, who would have thought 6 months later how important this message is, that people really need this message right now?
You know, I think in good times and bad times, you know, these words matter. You know, I think, again, love is our highest, it's our highest frequency, it's our highest energy. It's the one thing I think that we get to take in this life, you know, to the next. Right. And so I feel like that message is will always resonate. And, you know, this is definitely challenging, testing times. So if people can just stay in that, you know, being our highest calling. It helps us get through these icky times.
Right. Right. So, this is part of like a series of books. And if I'm not mistaken, it seems like it's been like the past year, like three of these books have come out now.
I have lost track of time. Well, I think I started, my first book came out in 2017. And since then we've done four, and we're working on some other ones now. I'm hoping we'll have at least a few more editions out before the end of the year. And then my favorite book, even though I love them all, is this one. And this one we wrote specifically for the children. For the children in Africa, and its messages to them about my seven words. And we've given it out 2,500 of these books so far.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And most of them I've got to physically give to the children. So that, you know, that just makes me so happy.
Now, do you get to do like, when you're doing stuff like that and you're there giving books out to them, you get to like sit down and like have like a Q&A class with them and teach your message? And
my experiences in Africa are just magical. When I go, I stay with them. So, you know, I've slept on the floor, concrete floor, with about 31 little girls, which was, don't ever want to do that again because it was very uncomfortable. But we were able to move those girls to a house where they all have beds now. You know, that was one of the things that we've done. At one of the places in Ghana, I volunteer there. I help make breakfast. I help get the kids ready for school. I mean, I'm sitting there with this big cauldron between my legs and a big thing, you know, dishing out 800, you know, meals for the kids for lunch and breakfast. And I do all kinds of stuff. So it's not That's like amazing. All pretty and glamorous, you know, it's dirty and sweaty and itchy, but I love it. I love it.
You know, this whole thing, I mean, you truly, where it's more than that, where, you know, you hear about people who go over and they want to help. Yes. Like you're saying, you're helping feed them, you're helping clothe them, helping them have homes, but you're also helping them, you're helping to create jobs for them as well.
Yes. Yes. Because that's how you lift people, you know, and it's not just creating a job where they earn money. I really want people to live into their own greatness, you know. Everybody has their own talents. Some people's talents are singing. Some people are really good at art. Some people are very athletic. Whatever that gift that you have is, I want to help nurture that. Just like a mother does with her children. She sees the innate gifts they have. She wants to help them live into their potential so they can live a happy, fulfilling life. And, you know, so I look at these children like they're mine, you know, and that's what I want to do for them. Like lift them up to live into their highest calling.
I was going to say, do you feel some of these children look up to you as a mother?
I know they love me. I know they love me. And so that, I mean, not everyone has a cell phone, but the few that I am able to keep in contact with, it lifts my spirit every single day for them to ask me how I'm doing, to just tell me how much they love me, because I love them so much. I mean, if I gave birth to them, I don't think I could love them anymore. Wow. And, you know, there's about 2,000 of them now. So that would be, no, not many, that many pregnancies.
Now, going back to the book and your series of books, I was thinking, like, you know, you hear a lot, like, when people are doing autobiographies, you hear how they'll say, like, they ended up learning so much about themselves. When you're writing these books, is it helping you learn even more about yourself?
Oh, all the time. You know, every day there's something else I think of, or I look back on in a different stage of my life and, you know, learn something. I mean, I have to, at my last trip there, it was last October. I was in Sierra Leone and we had just gotten there. It's really hard in Sierra Leone. There's so much poverty. And we had to take a ferry after we got off the plane to get to the place we were going, and, you know, long car ride, and we had to wake up early, and we're on the wharf cleaning up where we moved the girls from, like their old house. We moved them to a different place. But I wanted to go back to that wharf and clean it up, because all those little children that were still living there, I wanted their environment to be good too. So we bought these equipment, and everything was shut down because everybody was supposed to be cleaning. And you know, we get there and I was tired and I was thirsty and I was hungry, and we gave out all the money we had and we bought people some cookies and we gave out all of those. And this one woman had come over and she started yelling at us because we didn't give her any biscuits. We didn't give her any money and she felt slighted. And as she's yelling at me, I was thinking, oh my gosh, are you kidding? You know, I'm here to help your community. And then I thought, you know what? I'm here for love and kindness. So no matter what she says to me, I'm going to react in love and kindness. So
right.
I let her finish. I went over, I hugged her. I said, I'm so sorry. We ran out, you know, of the money and the biscuits. And then I walked away, you know, because I'm not a saint. I'm still human.
You're human.
I felt so powerful in that moment because I could have engaged or I could have reacted to her in the sure. way that I first felt like it. But I was like, no, you know what? That's not who I want to be. So, you know, lessons like that. I think the next time I encounter a situation like that, I can always look back on that situation and be like, you know what? Who do I want to be? And act right. accordingly.
Right. Wow. Now, how about, what do you think would be the number one message you want to portray with this book and all your books?
I want everyone to live their happiest, most fulfilling life. And part of that is loving people. You know, mm-hmm. I really believe that love is why we're here. And I also believe that we're here for each other. And if everybody just helped the person next to them, you know, we wouldn't have global problems. We would right. all be lifting each other, you know, and hoping that somebody might do the same for us one day when we were in need. So if that message, you know, just touches a few hearts, you know, I've made the world a little bit better by my existence. So, absolutely. You know, that's what I hope people get from my books and all the work that I do.
How can we share that message? Because the world needs that message so bad. How can we share it more?
I think we have to be it. You know, we have to live it. We have to live it by example. You know, you can tell your children, you know, do as I say, you know, this is what you're supposed to do, but they watch you. They see what you're mm-hmm. doing. So you can say whatever you want, but you have to embody it. You have to live it. And I think then people, you know, will say, that's a different way of being, you know, and that's that living by example, I think is our greatest way we can teach people that lesson.
Absolutely. Now, besides all this, you're working on a skincare and fragrance line as well?
Yes. You know, one of my big things is that, you know, I started this foundation. I have expenses. I have dogs to feed and things like that. But I don't want to take a dime of a donation from my foundation.
Sure.
So creating sustainability for myself as well as sustainability for people everywhere, you right. know, so using the amazing ingredients, creating jobs on the ground there, creating an amazing product will help me do my work, you know, because a portion of those funds will go into that work and it will also help me, you know, pay my bills. So I don't right. have to take a dime in a donation for my salary, for my travel, for, you know, any of that, and I don't have a problem if anybody else does. That's a personal thing with me, sure. but I just want to, you know, make the biggest impact and help as many people as possible. And again, donations for me, it's never going to be the way I want to, you know, fund my own life.
Sure, sure. So where would be the best place for everybody to go to learn more, not only about you, the message, but your foundation, and to get the books?
They're all listed on desiretoinspirefoundation.org. There's links to the Amazon page. We are in the process of putting up the little book of Bee that I showed you as a digital okay. format. So since I can't be in Africa handing out the books, at least people can come and download it. You know, it's only a few pages, but it is a loving message. And it was written from a place of love from everybody who was part of it. And, you know, you can see more about you could see all of the pictures on our website are our children. You know, those are not stock photos. Those are children that I know I've loved, I've hugged, you know, so you can see a little bit more about what we do and some of the work that we've done. And again, just looking at their beautiful faces makes me smile.
That's amazing. So now what are your plans for us as 2020? Are you going to be writing another book for us or?
You know, yes. Yes. I'm writing the first edition of the volume set. So this is the last book we did, The Recipes for Being Power of Seven. This has all seven words in it. Gosh, I don't know how to do that. So we're going to be creating a volume set. So each book will be one word. And so I get to write the love book. And I'm really excited about that. I've been working on that the last couple of weeks. So I need to get back to writing, but not today. I mean, not right this minute, but that's what I'm working on currently.
Nice. That's amazing. Well, Dawn, this has been amazing talking to you. I love your message. I love everything you're doing. It's truly inspirational, powerful, meaningful, and everybody needs to follow your message for sure.
Oh, well, thank you for having me. I love being able to share my kids and to share, you know, my mission with others.
Absolutely. And hey, you know, let's do this again. You always have more things you're working on. Just, you know, we'll hook back up and we'll talk some more and spread that. We need to keep spreading that message of love without a doubt.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you so much, Dawn.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.